kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
There's a river God flowing out through me. It makes the lame to walk and blind to see. It opens prison doors, sets the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out through me. Sing up, O well, within my soul. Sing up, O well, and overflow. Sing up, O well, and give to me your life so rich and free. Oh, there's a river of life flowing now through me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. It opens prison doors, sets the captives free. There's a river of life flowing now through me. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up, oh well, and overflow. Spring up, oh well, and give to me your life so rich and free.
Dancing for me, thou hast put off my sackcloth. Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing for me, and girded me with gladness. Glory, facing praise unto thee, and of thee silent. Oh Lord my God, I will sing praise unto thee forever. Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing for me. Thou hast put on my sackcloth. Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing for me, and girded me with gladness. To the end my glory will sing praise unto thee, and on this island. Oh Lord my God, I will sing praise unto thee forever.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Mighty Jesus. Blessed be his name. Well, I'd like to share an exhorted the word, and we're going to look today at how God preserves everything, and we call our teaching simply God Preserves. Did you know that God preserves so that we can meet like this today? God preserves everything, because if God doesn't preserve, it will no longer exist. And this preservation that the Lord places over each of us is a preservation to be able to believe, to confess, to have faith, to be able to worship him, to be able to have and move and have our being in him. This preservation is so that we can glorify God, we can pray, we can intercede, we can supplicate. This preservation is so that we can read God's word, that we can come to meetings like this, that we can have the word ministered to us. God's preservation is working in every facet of life, not only but in the world and in the universe, in the heavens, in the courts, even God's angels are preserved by him. Even the enemy, Satan, is preserved by him. Even the powers of darkness are preserved. Everything is preserved for a purpose and a reason, for the glory of God. Amen. And we have to let God be God. He knows what he's doing. He is seated on the throne. He is high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. And Christ sits at the right hand of the Father as the high priest, who intercedes and supplicates, and even prayers. Christ's prayers for us are all about preserving and keeping us. Did you know that a lot of Christ's intercessions are that their faith will fail not? Christ prayed that for the disciples. And he prays it today. And it's all about God's preservation. He preserves everything. He preserves the powers, principalities, you name it. And because of God's preservation, it continues to exist. Without God preserving, you have no life. There is nothing. So when God spoke the world into being, and he rested on that seventh day, God created also with the process of preserving that which he created. The heart of man is preserved. Your heart pumps something like 72 times per minute, is preserving and keeping you. Your blood that is pumped round your whole entire body is about preservation, keeping you alive. Well, let's turn to some scriptures. Psalm 36 and verse 6. Psalm 36 and verse 6. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. And he goes on about the Lord's loving kindness and so on. So here we get an illustration of God preserving and keeping everything. And we're told in the scriptures that God upholds all things by his word. So with the word of God, when God spoke the word and he created, with the word came preservation. And so this is vital for us to understand. And we need to know about this with regard to our walk of faith. That God is going to preserve you in your walk of faith. He is going to preserve you each day as you walk this day by faith. And we know that our faith has the trials and tests and temptations, but God even preserves in that. This is why, as it says in Romans, that all things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his grace, his purpose, and everything. God preserves. He preserves you in every trial, in every test, every disappointment, everything that appears to go wrong. And sometimes we have days that you just get up, and good job you walk by faith and you know that it's the Lord, because otherwise you'd say to yourself, well, this day has been jinxed to say the least. But we know God is preserving. we don't always necessarily understand about this preservation, but he is, in order for his glory, in order so that we can learn from God. You see, if God doesn't preserve us, how are we going to be taught? How are we ever going to experience and understand the mighty hand of God working individually and as well as us corporately as a church? How will we ever understand? We won't. Because we have to grow and mature. You see, sonship is given to us. It is there. We are legally adopted as sons, but we know that not all grow and mature into sonship, because they have not learnt from the word of God what is theirs in Christ, or they're not prepared to pay the price to get under the word and in the word, so to learn what God has given us, our inheritance, in other words. But our inheritance has to be preserved. This whole walk has to have a preservation upon it, else God won't have anything. So it's for his glory. As I say so often, when you actually look at this and you go theologically into all of this, if you're looking to God and God alone, and you're following him with all your heart, soul, mind and being, you cannot go wrong, however it looks, whatever the situation, whatever the trial, whatever the enemy is suggesting, or you cannot go wrong if you put the kingdom of God first. He has promised that all these things shall be added unto you. We know that in John 6. What is added unto you? Well, all the blessings that come by putting the kingdom first is all part of God's preservation. How about food on the table? A meal put before you? What is that for? To preserve us, to give us life, to keep you in good condition. God has said he will do that if you put the kingdom first. And what is putting the kingdom of God first? It's as the word of God says in the commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your being. There it is. And if you're not, then you inquire of God why you're not. Or if you feel you're not putting God first as you think you should, and this is where you have to humbly walk before him, then you call upon the Lord that he will work that within you. Lord, I want to seek your kingdom. I want to put you first for your glory, not what you can get out of it. So you need to be very careful with your attitudes. I've done it. I've made that mistake. I, you know, thought I was putting the kingdom of God first, and the Lord had to expose some things. Well, you're putting the kingdom of God first because you want to prosper. And I wasn't prospering, you see. That's how God got my attention. And I realized my motives were wrong. They weren't as they should be. See, God knows us better than we know ourselves. As I said the other week in teaching, we do not know ourselves. We do not know our hearts. Often we start to get a glimpse of our hearts is through the trials and the testings. Because the trials and the testings expose what is in the heart. So thank the Lord for those trials, because that revealed to me something that I didn't know that was fully there. But that trial has exposed something for the purpose to get it out. Because that is the part of the deeper deliverance that God is doing with the sons of God, with the man-child, as it's developing in the woman's womb. To a point, the man child, look at the preservation there. What is preserving us? The womb, that spiritual womb. You know, at times we get a bit frustrated, nothing seems to be happening. You know, I feel a failure, I'm not a witness as I should be, and so on. And we all go through this, we all feel this. And of course, we have to be open. We have to be open to be ready to share the good news of the gospel. But at the end of the day, the reason that I'm saved, the reason I'm preserved, is for the glory of God. It is to share and have fellowship first and foremost with Him. And a lot of Christians actually lose sight of that one. They think by being busy makes me spiritual. It makes me close to God. But we need to be careful when we're busy, because it can draw us out of the presence of my relationship with God. Mm-hmm. So it's always a very fine balance. And that again is why we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, in which to balance us, empower us. He's come to empower us by the Spirit for one purpose, first and foremost, my relationship with Him. Or we could say, as I said earlier, seeking first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. To really make justice of that, we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have to be empowered for these things. And thank God we do, because that is what then makes your walk, my walk, supernatural. It tells me I cannot do this in myself. My human initiative, my human strength cannot compare with the power of God that works in me, both to will and do for His good pleasure. Remember, we're talking about God's preservation today. Hallelujah. Even the will of God is His preservation. Sinners who rebel against God are even preserved. Did you know that the world is being preserved? Did you know that the sheep and the goats are being preserved? The wheat and the tares are being preserved for what? For harvest. We are approaching very quickly now for harvest. And there are two types of harvest. There's a harvest of righteousness and a harvest of unrighteousness. And this helps us to understand when it seems as though the powers of darkness have the overall say. We see that wickedness seems to be getting worse and worse. We see the corruption in government and dictators and leaders getting worse and worse. They are being preserved to be judged. Hold that in mind, because that keeps us balanced with what we're facing and what is going on now in these last days. Because otherwise, it just seems as though this is a world that's so unjust. And outwardly, it is. But God has got it all preserved. And make sure that you are in the second Adam. Because woe to those who are in the first Adam. They will go to judgment. And God is letting the two grow together. He's letting good and evil grow together. And at that right time, He will go forth. He will reap, and He will bring in the sheaves. He will bring in the wheat into the barn. But woe to those who are the goats. You see? This is why you have good and evil. You have those who are righteous and those who are unrighteous. God is dividing, and he is on the throne, and he knows what he's doing. And this helps us to keep everything in balance and in proportion. This helps us when we hear news that happens, and sometimes it can really disturb you. It really, really can. There's some horrendous things that are going on. You know, we've just heard in the news recently that I believe a couple have just been prosecuted, and it's a bigger case that goes on where they're harvesting children's organs. It's an absolute abomination. And I mean, thank God that they've been caught and they will go to prison. But how many, much more of that goes on around the world, and paedophilia and so on. It's the worst form of debasement. But God has got it preserved, and it is coming to harvest. That is what Jesus said in Matthew 24. We are to watch and pray. What are you watching? The harvest. That is what you watch. And God will open your eyes to see it. Because there are a lot of voices out there who all think they've got the answers and everything. Only the Holy Spirit, only the revelation of his word has the answers. And all because God is preserving. So they're being preserved for judgment on Judgment Day. Did you know that man in hell, in eternal torment, is also preserved? It's mind-boggling. And that's why we can pray for our loved ones. We can stand in the gap for them. I know that brings sorrow to our hearts. You long to see them come. You know, you watch at times and you think, you don't have to go through that. You don't have to experience that if you gave your life to Christ. But God's got it preserved. And we hold on. That's where our faith comes in. And we confess them before the mercy seat of God. The same as somebody confessed your name before the mercy seat of God. That's why we're here today. Because somebody prayed for us.
Yeah.
Never forget that, brothers and sisters. Nothing can be preserved independent of his will. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever God has willed, that is preserved and will be preserved. Hallelujah. You are what you are because you are upheld and preserved by Almighty God. So don't complain. Don't start thinking God's got it wrong over your life. And we all do it at times. He hasn't. He's preserving you, even if it's a lesson you've got to learn, or it's something more you've got to see. Or you've got to see more of the glory of God, or you've got to learn more of God's word. He's preserving us for all of that. Praise his name. You are what you are because you're upheld by the preservation of God and his word. You see, all of God's creation in Christ is preserved in order for Christ to hand it back to Almighty God. Because that's what he says he does. You read it at the end of Revelation, when everything is done and the powers of darkness are put down and the enemy, Satan, is chained away forever, and then the elements will burn up the world and the stars, because it says it's not clean in his sight. It says what's going to in this dispensation will be fire. What ended the first world as we knew it was the flood. And it will be fire. And it speaks of like it will be rolled up like a scroll. He's going to roll it up, but it will be fire that will die. And then the new heavenly Jerusalem comes down. And it says God will be all and in all. There will be no night, for the glory of God will be the light that we live in, and so forth. This is what it is. God's preserving the whole thing. Hallelujah. Even when God is maintaining things or repairing things, did you know that he does that? Sometimes he's rebuilding you and I. He's repairing us in Jesus Christ. We were damaged when we came to him. Affected by sin and our families and their forebears and sins. We were affected by all of that. He's preserved us to build us up in Christ Jesus. That's why we've been made new. He renews our youth like the eagles.
Amen.
That's why by his stripes you were healed at Calvary. Make that your confession. Even in your old age, he's still renewing your youth.
Amen.
And that is all part of God's maintenance. The same as our cars have to go into the garage at times to be maintained. Or we have to get builders in or handyman to do work on the house to maintain it. What is that for? To preserve and keep it. It's the same thing, you see. And that's why God has set into being for life and the world. And maintain and to heal. Did you know you have a fantastic healing ability in your bodies? And we need to look at that, what God has put within us. Where we heal. If you cut yourself and everything, watch how you heal. Doesn't look good at first. It scabs there. You leave that scab. And in time, when it gradually falls away, there is perfect skin restored underneath. There's God preserving, maintaining. We undermine this preservation that God's put within us. Well, how much more when we're born again and spirit-filled and got Christ in us? You know? He does it. I mean, there are things that we confess over our lives. You know, they're trials. I mean, they're physical trials we're going through. I am going through physical trials myself. But I keep going, keep confessing. And the Lord's ever faithful because he's put that preservation within us. Don't try and analyze it. Try and understand it. You won't. But we're being preserved for the glory of God. God preserves the world out there. When you look outside your window, the four seasons. Four seasons are to preserve the land. Did you know land needs those four seasons? It's all part of preservation. It's all part of growing, farming on the land. You know that certain crops, particularly in the West and in this country, do you know that land needs to actually have frost to break it up, to clean it? Did you know that some vegetables need frost in order for them to taste better, like cabbages?
Parsnips.
And parsnips and Brussels sprouts and all that sort of thing. They actually need frost. So we have these four seasons, all again to preserve. We have the sun, we have the winds, and everything, and the rain. All for preservation. Hallelujah. Birth, death is preservation. Did you know that under the conditions we live in a fallen world, but did you know man has to die under those conditions to preserve? Otherwise, we won't be able to live. We'll be completely and utterly overpopulated. Now, you've got to get your mind out of that. That's why you need to be in Jesus Christ. Because when you close your eyes, you open them next, and you're in heaven with him. It's just passing through. Hallelujah. But it's all about preservation. You can only put, sadly, but if a boat is sinking and you've got your life rafts and everything, you can only put so many in a boat. You put too many in and they're going to sink. You see? What's that? It's about preservation and so on. What does 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6 as I bring this to a conclusion? What you didn't know today, brothers and sisters online, I've changed my message to what I was going to teach today. I had something completely different, but I forgot my notes. And I thought, praise God, it's taken me by surprise, but not the Lord. Hallelujah. And I thought, he's got a different message he wants us to have today. See, God can do this. God can suddenly change you, and I've had this experience before. I've had on several occasions in seminars that I took. I got all the sermon, everything preached and ready, and just as I was get up to go beyond the pulpit, the Lord said, you're not preaching that today. You're going to preach this instead. God knows. You've got to keep your mind out of it. God doesn't make a mistake. You see, God wants us to know about preservation today. Amen. He's just overtaken. Hallelujah. You may get that sermon some other time. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. Yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through him we live. That is speaking about preservation. You can mark that if you want and put that's preservation there. We're preserved in Jesus Christ, who created all things for his glory. And what does it say in the Gospel of John? John chapter 5 and verse 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. And what is he working? What are they doing? They are working to preserve. A continual work. So God isn't now finished after creating on the sixth day and resting and says, now let them all look after themselves. I've done my bit. You know, they can do the rest. Not at all. Continue to work. Ever preserving, keeping you. Read Psalm 91. It's much about preservation. He preserves you when you go out and when you come in. Everything is to continue to give you life for the purpose to have fellowship and to glorify him. You were saved first and foremost for fellowship with your Heavenly Father. And never forget that. That is the divine principle that must always run in our lives. And all the rest will follow. And as I said, Revelation 12, the man-child is being preserved. Now, you would have thought that the enemy would have learned something there, wouldn't you? Because it says the dragon's right there to try and devour her man-child. That's what it says. But you see, the enemy doesn't always see. Even he doesn't see, because he's in such rage, he's in such hate against God and hates God's people, then he thinks, oh, well, I'll try and get some if I can. That's how determined he is. But it's quite clear, the man-child is preserved. If you want to really see preservation, you look at that and read that. And what does it say? The man-child is snatched, caught away. Christ gets in there first before the dragon. And that is why we don't know the actual hour and moment when he comes. He comes like a thief for that very purpose, so the dragon cannot take the man-child. For what purpose? For preservation. Because the man-child company is a company of overcomers who are very much involved in the kingdom. When we come with Christ to rule and reign for 1,000 years, what is that again? Preservation. And God needs to preserve, because right at the end, an Armageddon, it's going to be utter carnage. And God is going to rebuild again through all of that and educate man, work on man's mind and heart and spirit to come back to Almighty God. Because when judgment takes place, man has become so reprobate, he has become so pagan, so seared, virtually no understanding of God. Here is where our ministry comes in, where we start to be priests, teachers and kings and so on. Their roles are to educate, to bring back nations so that they come back again under the sovereignty of God, to set governments back so that they again function with the fear of God that is the beginning of wisdom. Have you ever considered that is what he's preparing the overcomers for? It's all there. That is what he's doing. So stay in there. I say to yourself, well, I don't seem to be much use. I don't seem to. You wait to how God is going to use you. You watch what is going to come. And you're going to see your labors were not in vain, but all prepared for the future. And what is the future speak of? Also, preservation. There we are, brothers and sisters. God preserves, does he not? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your hand, your preservation over us. Thank you for revealing to us today how that you have everything under complete control. What we have heard today is the absolute sovereignty of God. Father, forgive us when we doubt you, or we question, or we don't understand. Lord, you've got it all under control. Let us just rest in you with that simple, childlike faith, Father. And so, Lord, I thank you for our gathering. Thank you for our time together. Bless brothers and sisters. Bless those online, Lord. May they have a blessed week with you until we meet again. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
When the Spirit of the Lord is within my heart, as David sang, when the Spirit of the Lord is real in my heart, I will sing as David sang. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing as David sang. Oh, I will sing, I will sing, I will sing as David sang. Oh, when the Spirit of the Lord is within my heart, I will clap as David clap. Oh, when the Spirit of the Lord is within my heart, I will clap as David clap. Oh, I will clap, I will clap, I will clap. as David can. Oh, I will cry, I will cry, I will cry as David cries. Oh, when the Spirit of the Lord is within my heart, I will dance as David dance. Oh, when the Spirit of the Lord is within my heart, I will dance as David dance.
Jesus.